So let's start with a simple fact: the leaves are green, at least for the most cases. And the reason leaves are green is because plants absorb less green light in the whole visible spectrum and reflect or transmit more of them. And as human eyes perceive it, we perceive as the leaves are green in color. So because of the green color has a lower leaf absorption, a lot of people claim that green light is of very low photosynthetic efficiency. And this claim actually backed up by this famous McCree photosynthetic response curve. So what he did was he quantified the relative amount of CO2 fixed per moles of photon and built this and plotted against the whole spectrum. So we can see there are two peaks in the visible spectrum. The red peak and there's the blue. They both seem to have a pretty high quantum efficiency. Well, the green region does looks to have the lowest quantum efficiency except for the sharp drop in the red end. So this, as William mentioned, this curve has a lot of limitation. It is spontaneous measurement at really low light level. So in that case, the leaf absorption really plays a very important role in this quantum this relative quantum efficiency. So what we think that at the other side of low absorption, it actually has a higher light transmission, so you can penetrate deeper in the leaf. So on the right side, there's the cross sections of leaf, and it also shows the different depths of penetration of light for different color. So on the top is the red color, and the bottom is the green color. We can see due to its really high absorption, they got strongly absorbed by the top few cell layers. Well, the green light was able to penetrate much deeper to the whole depth of the leaf blade because it has a lower light absorption. So this is of greater importance, especially we think of high light level, with fewer reaction centers that could possibly be activated by red and blue light. They can saturate those reaction centers pretty easy at really low PPFD. And after they are saturated, they can't really utilize red and blue light very efficiently. On the other hand, for blue light, it can reach out to much, much more reaction centers and takes higher PPFD to saturate them. And they have a bigger, much amount of photoreactions and reaction centers to carry out photosynthesis reactions. So we do believe that this is going to make a really big difference. So that leads us to our hypothesis. The green light can drive photosynthetic reaction more efficiently than red and blue light, especially at higher PPFD. Now, McCree curve only gave us information low light level, so my experience focused on if there's any changes happening at high light level, so the interaction effect between spectral quality and PPFD. So we chose a very easygoing plant, the green tower lattice, and we kept them under in the growth chamber, so gave them a pretty uniform growth condition. So all of our different treatments, different spectral distribution, and photosynthetic measurement was actually carried out by this gas exchange system called Cyrus-3 from PP system. And we chose three different light, red, blue, and green. And we built light response curves for all three of the light, and also CO2 response curves for all three of the lights as well, to give us more insight of the underlying physiological process. And on side of that, I measured the leaf absorption for the three lights. So first, light response curve quantifies the relationship between PPFD and net photosynthetic rate. From this curve, we can actually calculate the maximum quantum yield for three different lights. So here we actually define the quantum yield as moles of CO2 fixed per moles of photon, very similar idea to McCree's response curve. Also, we want to look at higher PPFD, what is the maximum photosynthetic rate could possibly achieved by all these three different lights of different colors. So also for CO2 response curve, we actually did this under PPFD of 200 micromoles per square meters per day to mimic the real production. In the real production, leafy green are typically growing in the range of 200 to 300 micromoles per square meter per second. So we can calculate the maximum carboxylation rate. Now this parameter solely represent the activity of Rubisco in the dock-independent reaction. And also we will be able to calculate the maximum rate of electron transport in the light-dependent reaction and compare these different physiological parameters for the three different lights. Now, I also did my data analysis with SAS, as you can see later. So result. Let's have a look at our first curve, the light response curve. So for red light, this is a pretty beautiful, typical light response curve. And then comes to the blue light. It has a larger variation, but we can actually see the blue light induced photoinhibition pretty early on, around PPFD of 1,000 micromoles per square meter per second. And for blue, for green light, it has a larger variation too, but it was able to keep growing with increased PPFD, and the photodetectivity rate was actually still going up a little bit. So since the regression function that I used for this study wasn't able to handle photoinhibition, I actually had to chop off part of the data for blue light to really make the curve fitting works. So after we fit the exponential curve to all this data, that looks much neater. So here we can have some data analysis. As mentioned, we look at the column yield defined as the moles of CO2 fixed per moles of photon. So that is the initial slope in this curve. From our data, it looks like the right light does have a highest column yield, then followed with blue and then green. So it's basically the same idea as McCree's curve, so these two results actually fits perfectly well. Now if you look at the other end with higher PPFD, the maximum photosynthetic rate actually doesn't have any significant differences among all three lights. So although I have a p-value of 0.0543, that is cutting pretty close. As I mentioned, I have larger variations, a lot larger variations in the red, in the blue and the green light. So I do hope if I increase more red, that will clear up my result a little bit. But at least from this, we can see that green light is not of less photo efficiency than the other two at the higher PPFD. So the light response curve and all the results presented are just plotted against the incident PPFD. As I mentioned, I can also measure the absorption for three different lights. So with known fraction of light actually got harvested and absorbed by the leaf, what we can do is plot light response curve against absorbed PPFD. So this gave us a common ground to compare of the energy got actually harvested by the leaf, how efficient those energy can get utilized by plant. So the maximum photosynthetic rate does not change, but the initial slope column yield actually does change a little bit. So you can see the red has the highest column yield among all three lights, but the blue and green light does have very similar quantum yield with each other. So it appears here the red energy from the blue and green light was not used as efficiently as red light. So we do have some research showing that the energy harvested from blue light does not get transferred along the pigment chain to reaction center very efficiently. So we are wondering if there's this inefficient for green light actually is the same case. So we do see that at low light level, green light has a lower quantum efficiency compared with the other light, but at high light level, the differences actually disappeared. So for for CO2 response curve, it gave us a different aspect of this photosynthetic reaction. So here's one example of CO2 response curve fitting. At CO2 concentration is low, as represented in the right line. The limiting step is actually the Rubisco carboxylation rate. As CO2 concentration increases, the RUBP regeneration becomes the limiting step, as represented by the green line. So first, we can calculate the parameter called maximum carboxylation rate in regard to low CO2 concentration. CO2 oxygen actually competing for Rubisco activity. So this parameter gave us a solid representative of Rubisco activity as affected by different light. So here we can see green light is actually very efficient at activating Rubisco. So even the light independent reactions are actually affected by the different spectral distribution. So at the other side, the we can also calculate from the CO2 response curve the maximum electron transport rate can possibly be achieved by this three different light. And here again, blue light seems to fall behind, and red and green light are actually pretty equally efficient in the sense of driving maximum electron transport rate. So that is CO2 response curve, and to summarize all this information from light response curve and CO2 response curve, there is really no evidence to support the claim that green light is inefficient at driving photosynthetic reaction. At low PPFD, it does have a lower quantum yield compared to other light because of a low absorption. But we actually do believe the low absorption of green light is actually exactly its strength. And as I mentioned, as explaining, the green light can actually penetrate deeper in the leaf blade. Now we can imagine actually a whole plant canopy. The majority of the volume of the canopy can receive very little random blue light. They have to harvest energy from the green light. So when we're thinking about the whole canopy or in the greenhouse and the whole bench full of plants, that's where we really believe the green light can outperform red and blue light. So thank you. I want to thank you for all the funding sources and support, and also thank you to my amazing plant physiology lab. And do I have any questions? Yes, sir. Yeah.
Do you have a spectral radio meter for each wavelength?
In our old setup, yes, we do. But in this study, I actually rely solely on Cyrus 3. They have a built-in LED module and built-in light sensor that can pretty accurately precisely control all these different PPFD and the spectral distribution. So that's what I was actually using. I'm sorry, can you repeat your question again?
For your wavelength,
mm-hmm.
at the bottom,
uh-huh.
the green in the middle,
uh-huh.
the red and blue, they do not overlap?
Oh, no. They have a pretty narrow range. They use LED, so the spectral distribution, the peaks are actually pretty narrow. I don't think I have a picture showing that, but they don't overlap.